Hi there.
Hey, JP.
How are you doing?
Doing good.
How are you doing?
Fine. My meetings were all running late, so I'm actually going to be traveling home. I was hoping to take this call at home, but I'm going to be traveling home in a few minutes. But I'm logged in.
Okay.
Thank you. Good to see everyone.
Hello, JP.
Oh, hi, Nicole.
Oh, I think we had Ron, but then lost Ron. Hey, Beth. Hey, Kara. Hey, Dave.
Everyone.
Do we have any excused absences, Kara?
Just Helen Lynn.
Okay.
Oh, I know. Elaine, actually, Elaine and Zachary both told me that they were going to be late today.
Okay, so we'll just give it a little bit. So we're waiting then for those two, as well as Ed and Gwen and Cesar. And Billy, of course, is on a leave of absence, and we're waiting for Thomas. This is a fully stocked committee, although I guess it doesn't really appear to be so right now. But let's just give it a few more minutes. We want everyone here so we can get quorum, so we can vote on the HHS. As well as have a good interview with Nicola. Thanks for joining us, Nicola.
Nice to meet you, no problem.
Oh, just so that you know, what we'll probably do, Nicola, is we have a discussion. I mean, hopefully, we'll have enough people here to have a meeting. But what usually happens around the interviews is that we'll have a discussion before the interview. So, what I'll do is I'll create a breakout room that I'll ask you to join. So that we can have a discussion, I guess, about your application, and then I'll end the breakout session when we're finished up discussing, so that you could join us for the interview. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So you'll be able to be a part of the meeting before that. So as a member of public.
Okay.
All right. So let's just give it a few more minutes so that we can achieve quorum.
Sorry, guys, I was at the old link. Hello, I was at the old link.
And we're just waiting for a few more people so we can achieve quorum. Right now we have three folks, and we just, so we're at eight since one person's on leave of absence. We just need two more people. And we know that a couple folks are joining us a little bit, so they'd be a little bit late. So we'll just be starting a little bit later. And I'm gonna actually forward the most fresh calendar invite to those folks who didn't accept, so that it gets back into their inbox. That includes you, Ed, so that you can have it hopefully on your Outlook calendar. Great. By now, when I set it out, that was like a month ago, so probably impossible to find.
Yeah, I think what happened was that I just kept refreshing and it rolled over and the old link rolled over with it.
Ah, that makes sense.
And if Carol would pretend like she's pregnant with two children, we'd have quorum because they'd be considered babies people.
Oh, very, very, very political.
Only if those two babies were actually committee members.
That's true.
In utero.
They get rights because of the mother.
I'd have to submit two separate applications for them.
That's true. Okay.
And we can put little feet prints on it for their signature.
Well, it is 10 after, so even though we have not achieved quorum yet, we might as well get started on some of the things that do not require a vote. Because I do want to be respectful of people's time. I don't know if I need to pull up the agenda because we can't really approve the agenda, but I will look at it and see if there's things here that we can do. Oh yeah, there's plenty. Kira, do you have the attendance report and I guess we can go over the non-voting parts of the attendance. So I'll just be, I'll just channel Elaine right now so that we can start doing these different things now. It looks like we do have to review a renewal eventually. Did Paul submit a renewal application?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. Well, we'll do that when we have quorum. We're gonna have to change the agenda item a little bit, but we'll do that for agenda review. Looks like there was a notice of attendance that was sent for Paul Harkin. And we have a current leave of absence with Billy Cooper. And we do need a new committee assignment. Kira, when you can you reach out to David Gonzalez and ask him which committee, you probably actually already have done this.
Yeah, he let me know that he wanted to join community engagement.
Okay, so we'll include that as a part of a vote then. All right, since they don't require votes, do you want to go over demographic information with us?
Yeah, of course. Just give me 1 second to pull that up. All right. Can everyone see that?
Maybe reduce a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Is that better?
I can see part of it. I don't know other folks.
All right. I can scroll.
Okay, great.
So here we have I believe it's the Aries demographic report. Not much has changed. We did, from last month, we did have two members leave, but that really hasn't changed our target areas. So besides that, everything is pretty much the same. as you can see in demographics of HCPC columns. That just brings our total membership down to 23 instead of 27. And then let me switch over. Oh, does anyone have any questions about that? No, okay. Let me switch over to the EPI demographic report. All right, and I'll zoom into this one as well. All right, and then this one is the same. It just reflects the change in the total membership difference since we did lose two members. But besides that, target areas remain the same. We still are low in certain areas, but those have been the same since 2 months ago. So not much change except for the total membership, which is noted at the very bottom, 23. Any questions? Okay.
I realize we actually did not even do introductions. I know we can't do agenda administrative, but we didn't do introductions. So Ed, want to start us off?
Hi. Hi, it's Ed. I'm here and happy Bastille Day.
Ed City Council member.
Right now I'm a patriot with French.
Ron?
Ron Hernandez, committee member.
JP.
JP Soto, council committee member.
Kira.
Kira, council staff.
Dave.
David Jordan, council staff.
Mark Molnar, council staff. Beth.
Beth Mary, HIV Health Services.
And Nicola, would you like to introduce yourself as a member of public?
My name is Nicola, and I'm a newest member to the council.
Applying to the council, yes. Sure. You wouldn't happen to be able to do video on by any chance, Nicola. We do love to see folks in the meeting whenever possible. I know that it's not always possible, but sometimes.
Yeah, okay, great. Doing my outreach, my hair is not, yeah,
I mean, you can certainly turn video off if you'd like, but during the interview, it'd be great to have video on. So whatever makes you comfortable.
Yeah.
All right, so we already got through a few things. Let's go through the other remaining agenda items that don't require votes, and then we can even start on the HHS recommendation and just cross our fingers that people get here. If people don't get here, we can actually still have an interview. It'll just have to be a recommendation as far as the vote goes and would have to be upheld again by steering. So the last two parts, the last part really is council recruitment. My only update, actually, I don't really have an update. I think Dave might have more information about a new application.
Yeah, so I actually changed the agenda last minute here. Some of you may have noticed, I don't know if Mark showed the agenda yet. I presume he did not, but so I just received an application from Manuel Vasquez from the Mayor's Office on Housing. Who, you know, as you know, we're sort of really looking forward to looking for somebody to represent housing. I added his application into the agenda for review today. So that is where we are with recruitment. Other than that, we don't have anybody else in the pipeline, although, as you know, COLAs and youth assessments go through the summer, we will ideally, there were a couple people from the COLA that I spoke to that have not followed up with me yet. I don't know if they will. Ideally, we'll have some, you know, some new blood coming in, especially non-aligned consumers is of course what we're targeting. Specifically Latina and youth. I also spoke to somebody from the, what is the name of the agency? Third Street Youth Health Center, something along those lines. And they, staff did not seem especially interested in applying, but I'm working on setting up an in-service with their clients and potentially trying to recruit maybe some actual youth. We'll see how that goes. So that probably won't happen until September though. So that's all I have.
Well, let's get started on the HHS recommendations. If it doesn't turn out, we don't have a vote on it because a quorum, at least the folks here will be fully informed. So I'm going to share screen and I'll do a little spiel and then I'll hand it over to Beth. And so hopefully you can all see that Word doesn't usually give me a problem. It's where when I switch to PDFs, that sometimes I get kicked out. Warning in advance. All right. So can everyone see that?
It's still loading.
Oh, okay. What's wrong with my computer? Okay, well.
Do you want me to share?
So I have a fresh version. So I'm going to email that to, if it's easy for you, Dave, I will email that to you. And we'll just hold on just a second. Because there was an update made at the last committee. Okay, just a moment, Dave. HHS. Okay, I just sent it to you. So while Dave is finding that, as I think you all three of you are quite aware, you've been on the council for a minute, carry forward funds are unspent funds from the prior year. The council is able to allocate those resources and often does so based on mainly recommendations from HHS, but also taking into consideration what we have on the council suggested when it comes to the results of the needs assessments and focus groups. And actually HHS takes that into consideration as well. And so these funds are actually pretty time limited. So they don't, they're rarely used to create new programs. And instead they're really used to maybe pilot. They're rarely used to create ongoing things that the funding is expected to remain over the years, but they have been used for pilots. They've been used to shore up other service categories like food, emergency financial assistance. They've certainly been used for vouchers. And again, they do need to be spent down by a particular time. So that does limit their usage. They come to us in a couple forms from unspent fund for Ryan White Part A, and then more restricted unspent funds for Minority AIDS Initiative. So the first committee that looked at this was our Council Affairs Committee. And for the most part, they agreed with the recommendation, but they did do a couple shifts, which I've noted here, and which I'm sure Beth can review as well. And with that, I'll hand it over to you, Beth.
Thank you, Mark. Actually, could I see the very top just for the dollar amounts? Thank you. So as Mark noted, there is a timeline on these. This is unspent funds from last period through February 28th. And we, by the end of this month, need to give HRSA a proposal. And they let us know around September or October. And then we implement and have to have them spent by February. It is possible for them to say no to one of our requests and not let us carry forward the funds, though most often they agree. And as Mark kind of alluded to, reasons they might say no is if it looks like we're trying to do something permanent with temporary money, that's a concern to them. So all the proposals here focus on things that have a one-time justification or are infusion for something COVID related in a lot of cases. So this year we had a higher amount of unspent funds than most recent years. In Ryan White Part A, we had $333,275. And in the Part A MAI, we had $72,297. So together, this is $405,572 for the council to reallocate. And then we have here on this proposal, there's five or six items, and then there's paragraph descriptions below that if we want more detail. I'm going to focus on the table part now and then go to the other only if questions. So the first, and these are mostly in size, biggest to smallest, with some deviations once we get to the bottom. So the first recommended category is emergency financial assistance grants to award $163,275 from Ryan White Part A carry forward. And this is for increased demand for emergency financial assistance since COVID. Lots more job instability, housing instability, and many, many things related to COVID have driven a need for that category. Remarkably similarly, that instability from COVID has affected food as well. And also inflation of food costs is a little harder to manage at the moment. So we're recommending $80,000 of the Part A carry forward go to enhancing the amount of food available and also on the justification of COVID. Hi, Thomas, welcome. Third category is to develop and deliver a training for mental health providers on working with long-term survivors. This is inspired by sort of the point we are at where a lot of people from HIV health services and counseling and a lot of people who were here from the very beginning of the epidemic are beginning to retire. And so sort of to capture that knowledge and make sure the newer members of the workforce are trained sort of from the early beginning and we have that training available. Just because there's sort of a decades of experience that some people have at this moment it seems a good idea to capture and put into training that would be useful. Also case managers and other modalities may use it in addition to therapists. Next, needs assessment. This one also arises out of things we've heard at the council, in particular around the needs assessment. The next two relate quite heavily to that. So a needs assessment of the potential gaps in mental health and group services for long-term survivors. We've heard some very recent public comments here and also, I believe also at the Board of Supervisors, that the mental health needs are not being met. And we don't necessarily have waiting lists in a lot of places. So we're wanting to get a better sense of where, like what mental health services are available and where the real gaps are, whether it's psychosocial services, groups, individual therapy, the duration of available therapy. There's just a lot of different places where additional resources could go, and we may get additional resources from Board of Supervisors, ad backs, or other places, and we wanna be able to deploy that in the best way. And I think that's it for this page. Number five, technology support for hybrid psychosocial support groups. This is also from feedback we received in the most recent needs assessment. That some of the longstanding psychosocial support groups have had a lot of trouble reforming because not all of the members feel comfortable going to group service indoors in person. And so it has impeded some of the psychosocial support that used to be available to people. And there are an increasing number of technological solutions that may be able to mitigate some of that, not overcome all of it. But we'd like to make sort of pilot innovations at some of our current psychosocial service providers to buy better cameras and microphones that can do directional video and sound so that people out of the room and in the room can have a more similar experience than currently a lot of the technology allows. And last, and this one is all the above were from Ryan White, Part A carry forward. This last one is from the Minority AIDS Initiative subset of funds. We recommend the purchase of client incentive vouchers in the amount of $72,297. And the justification is that client incentive vouchers have been in higher demand since the beginning of the pandemic. And I think this one I will scroll to the very bottom because this is a likely question. Thank you very much, Dave, I think is scrolling. I believe it's drugstores, possibly grocery stores, definitely taxi, and likely Muni are the categories we would most likely spend that on. Those are the areas we need more of within the year. And I'll take any questions that you guys have. And Mark alluded to a change that was made at the last committee. And that change was to the original proposal had $15,000 for the technology pilot for psychosocial groups. And the group felt that wasn't quite enough to do much of a pilot and wanted to increase that to $30,000. And the balance of $15,000 was removed from the first category of emergency financial assistance, largely because that was the largest category. So there still was a large infusion once you take 15,000 off. The others were much more impacted.
All right, thank you, Beth. So this is now that we have achieved quorum, thank you, Elaine and Thomas, for joining us. This is a motion that's actually on the floor, doesn't need to be moved or seconded because it's coming from committee. As Beth reviewed, the unspent carry forward dollars will be going primarily to client incentive vouchers, to food, to emergency financial assistance, and to two projects, one for hybrid psychosocial support groups and the other to support long-term survivors' mental health. So any discussion of this motion that's already on the floor? All right, the next step after voting, go ahead.
For the psychosocial support groups. Is there an organization that we're looking at to be targeted for that, or is that still up in the air at this moment?
Still up in the air. Our original idea was to sort of procure the items at DPH and then give them to people, but we have since decided that that's not the most effective way because different rooms require different technology. So we'd most likely look at all of the contracts that have social psychosocial support services, and then ideally check with all of them to see if they want that, and then give them some more materials and supplies budget. If we don't have enough funds, then we would probably do it with some of the larger ones or some of the ones who are struggling more with this issue, who want to do virtual groups. So there might be some prioritization.
Any more questions? All right, because this does involve money, this is a roll call vote. So again, the motion on the floor is to accept the recommendation from HHS and as updated and amended, not really amended, as updated by the Council Affairs Committee. Ron Hernandez.
I accept it.
Ed Chitty.
Yes.
JP Soto.
Yes, sorry.
Okay. Elaine Flores.
Yes.
And Thomas Noble.
Same.
Abstain. Motion carries. It will now go to PLWH. PLWH does not, fortunately does not have to establish quorum. And since it'll be a motion on the floor, they won't have to move or second it, but they can certainly review. I don't know if Beth, you will be at next Tuesday's meeting, but certainly we can review, staff can review it if you are not.
Would it be possible to ask, I'll email to ask for an invitation first so one of us can attend. All right. Unless you don't need us, so let us know what you prefer. But I'll ask over email. Thanks.
Sure. The invitation should be sent out by Kara or Dave, hopefully by end of day, if the latest tomorrow. I won't be there, so I'll just let you know in advance. So hopefully Dave and Kara, you'll be comfortable sharing if Beth can't make it. All right. So now that we have quorum, Elaine, I jumped in to facilitate. Would you like me to continue or would you like to? It seems like you're outdoors, so I'm wondering if it would be challenging. Yeah. Okay, I'll continue.
I apologize for being late. I'm up for, to let you guys know, I'm up for a very good promotion at work as an assistant manager at Nordstrom. So
I was there for a meeting. Yeah.
So we'll see how good.
Congratulations and good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck.
Thank you. All but right, I'm so- here.
All right, so we see here the agenda. We've already knocked a few different things off. Oh, first of all, can you all see the agenda? Yay. Okay, so we see here the agenda. We've already done introductions. I'll also add that Elaine Flores and Thomas Noble have joined the meeting for the recording. Are there any objections to approving this agenda?
Sorry, before we move on with that, the agenda you're showing does not show the review of Manuel Vasquez's application. So.
Oh, thank you. There were definite adjustments. And so review prospective member application, that should actually be Manuel Vasquez. And we should also be adding in here interview applicant Nicola, who has joined us. So any objections to approving this agenda as amended? All right, seeing none, let me go to minutes. We have here the minutes from May. If you recall, we did not meet in June, or we kind of met, but it wasn't really a meeting. Here are the minutes. Lots of renewals, it looks like, or some renewals and basic stuff. Any updates or changes to this minutes from May?
I made one. I gave the notes to Kira.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Any objections to approving the minutes then as potentially updated? No. All righty. I will go back to the agenda to see what's next. Announcements. I'll put myself on that list. It sounds like the co-chairs have determined that July and August are going to be virtual for all committees and full council. And so we're putting off in-person meetings for a little bit longer. And that also means the return of the continued use of DoorDash, which will be sent out to you all for those who have chosen that. Any questions about our virtual meetings for the rest of this month and for all of August? Any other announcements? All right, so moving on. Dave or Kira, would one of you mind sharing Paul Harkin's renewal application?
I can do that. One sec.
All right. Let me wind this up. All right, if you can scroll down. I'll just read what. All right. Back up.
Sorry. Please. Sorry.
No worries. Okay. So the renewal question number one is, what is your primary reason for seeking renewal on the council? Paul responds, the council does important work, and I consider the partnership between community and DPH to be immensely valuable in helping to shape health policy and programming. My participation in the council is rooted in the belief that we can make a difference by showing up at the table. I try to amplify the voices and concerns of marginalized populations in an effort to ensure that their individual stories, struggles, and experiences are faithfully shared appropriately and mindfully with the wider privileged community so that their humanity is not misrepresented, devalued, or exploited. Very strong statement. Did your service on the council turn out to be what you expected? No, it did not for Paul. He explains, obviously COVID battered our community and disrupted so many areas of our lives. I was grateful that I was able to work during COVID and be useful to the community. And while I was pleased that we can continue to virtually meet as a council, everything was askew and felt weird, at least for me. Question three is, what committee did you serve on and what did you learn? How did you benefit from the committees? I was part of the executive group and the community engagement group. I always learn new things on these groups, and it generally helps me better understand the system of care and access to care and funding. What do you think you have contributed to the council? Paul responds, I think I've been able to ensure that people who use drugs are represented in a supportive way, that their rights are advocated for, and that they're included in the conversations and planning process. Would Paul be interested in serving in a leadership role on the council? And what we've seen as a theme in all of these renewal applications, Paul responds no, and as explained by saying, I am super busy at the moment. And so that's the renewal application. You can stop share. Any conversation, thoughts, discussion about Paul's renewal? Any opposed to approving the renewal application of Paul Harkin? Seeing no no's, this will now move on to the full council for a formal approval. All right, so now we have a application from Manuel Vasquez for us to review. And then after that, Nicola will get to the interview. And as I mentioned, I'll put you in a breakout room briefly, and then we'll come back to you.
Okay.
One sec, okay?
Yeah, no worries. All right, this is an application from Manuel Vasquez. Manuel is a HIV housing program manager with MOCD, which of course is an acronym for the Mayor's Office of Housing and Community Development. Manuel identifies as a male, as he, him. Manuel shared a sero status as HIV positive. Was diagnosed in January 2011. Sexual orientation, if noted as gay, lesbian, or same gender loving. Manuel identifies as several race or ethnicities, as white, as Latino, as Native American or Alaskan Native. Manuel is willing to disclose that they have HIV, and Manuel is involved, has been involved in HIV-related research as a study participant. Manuel does work for housing and has been employed as HOPWA. Manuel has experience as a provider of employment and training services as a faith-based entity within a faith-based entity providing HIV care, within an organization providing harm reduction services, and within a youth-serving agency. As a HIV community stakeholder, Manuel can represent all of these different categories: commercial sex workers, immigrants, faith-based community, people who inject drugs, substance users, domestic violence, gay, bisexual, other MSM, people of color, trans populations, women, and youth. All right, that's a lot. All right, as far as Manuel's responses to these questions, as far as why Manuel is interested in joining the council, in his current role as HIV housing manager, he has a perspective and experience that can help the council progress. The next question was using, providing, or evaluating services from persons living with HIV. Any experiences there? Manuel says that they have developed several surveys and other evaluation tools to ensure client satisfaction and that services are meeting clients' goals and needs. As far as experience of participating in community planning or health planning, in his role, he has facilitated several planning meetings that result in the publication of the 2020-2025 HIV Housing Strategic Plan. Life experience. I'll say in his own words, I am an HIV-positive queer man who is of multiracial background. I've been a client at many San Francisco ASOs and CBOs, as well as a case manager, program manager, and administrator. Other skills and expertise. Manuel has developed outreach plans to engage individuals lost to care, reconnecting them with medical providers and necessary support. And then finally, when asked to describe any of their activities they are currently engaged with and related to HIV, they respond that they are the facilitator of RCFCIC's program leadership work group, an author of the HIV housing plan, is on the Getting to Zero steering committee, facilitator of the monthly HIV housing group, which I've attended, grant coordinator of the HIV, the HUD-funded HIV housing programs, and is a team lead for a racial equity book club and work group at MoCD. I think that might, oh, there's one more. And so put in several recommendations, references, Bill Hirsch, who we are all familiar with, Brian Hsu, the director of MoCD. And then I can't quite read that, Chuan Tang, I hope I'm not mispronouncing that, chief of client services over at PRC. Thanks, David. All right, any discussion on this application for a person who will be filling at long last our housing seat, and who also clearly has a lot of life experience and represents other races and ethnicities. Not that I'm trying to give my opinion on whether or not you should approve this application. No discussion? Any opposed to moving forward to an interview? All right, the application has been approved for interview. All right, next I'm going to create a breakout room while I'll ask Nicola to join. Dave, did you want to join Nicola as well? I know that sometimes you like to talk or prep our applicants.
I don't think that's necessary. I think that as the process has gotten a little less formal, as we've been through this, I'm not sure that there needs to be, it's pretty straightforward, honestly. Nicola, if you are interested in having a conversation while they run through this, I'm happy to join you. If not, we'll be with you, back with you in just a few minutes, I imagine.
All right, Nicola, I just sent you an invite to join, and then when we finish our discussion, I'll close the breakout room. So hopefully you see that notice and just accept. Okay, great. So let's hopefully keep this brief so we don't keep Nicola waiting in a strange Zoom wonderland. Let's do a quick review of the application, mainly because you all haven't seen it. Steering is a group that actually saw it and approved it. So Nicola is a volunteer with the San Francisco Health Center. Nicola identifies as a female, as she, her, is HIV positive, was diagnosed in 2013, identifies as straight. Nicola's race identifies as Native American or Alaska Native. Nicola is willing to publicly disclose their HIV status. So it looks like there was a check at the bottom there. As a HIV community stakeholder, they have experience in the following, if you can scroll down a bit,
provider of employment or training services, organization providing harm reduction services, youth serving agency. As a HIV community stakeholder, they can also represent the following communities: commercial sex workers, people who inject drugs, substance users, folks who have experienced domestic violence, gay, bisexual, other MSM, people of color, trans populations, women and youth. And yes, Nicola is a HIV positive consumer of Ryan White services, and it does appear as if Nicola is unaffiliated. Can you go up a bit? I think I missed something there. The services they have used primarily. Nicola has asked for help, so I'm going to put you, well, actually you're doing this. So I'm gonna just, I'll help Nicola in a moment after I finish this up. So there's a, Nicola has used services that are case management and medical care at Tom Waddell. Now, David, if you can go actually go over the rest, and I will join Nicola to see what Nicola might need.
For bio, it's a little weird to read this out loud in somebody else's voice, but I'm happy to do it if that's what people prefer. I imagine it might be challenging for some of you to maybe, or in transit or whatever. So in her words, I am from the South, all capitals, born and raised in New Orleans. I was living here when I was first diagnosed. I have lived in the city of San Francisco for 9 years. I have many experiences in the city, being homeless, living in long-term treatment, living in transitional housing, and now in sexually subsidized housing. I'm a volunteer at the SF Community Health Center, providing COVID outreach and support. I'm also a licensed cosmetologist. Under relevant skills, why are you interested in joining the council? As a longtime consumer of HIV services, I feel that I am experienced. I have the experience and voice for many people in the community in need of care and prevention services, and can share my experiences while advocating for others. In evaluating, using, providing, evaluating services. He has a history as a consumer of services. Participation in community planning, none yet. Life experience, see interest above, consumer mental health services, harm reduction, case management services. Other skills, please see bio above. Describe any other activities you are currently engaged in related to HIV services providers or organizations. Volunteer at SF Community Health Center, current Chile participant. Here we have references. I will stop share now.
Thanks, Dave. JP, I do know that that you are matched with Nicola as their mentor within the Chile project. Would you mind speaking to your relationship and towards sure. this application?
Yeah, sure. And just for transparency's sake, I just want to make sure that folks know that there is a connection. So thank you for saying that. And I actually did help her fill out that application. Yes, that project is actually over. But during our work together and her desire to really be more part of the vocal part of the community and change, we talked about my experience on the board, the committee, and she was very interested, which was really exciting because I know that we really need a lot more folks with lived experience on the council. So she's very bright. She's not afraid to, share what she thinks. I think she has a lot of experience she could share in terms of our momentum and movement moving forward with our prioritization, the categories and discussions around those categories as well. So yeah, I'm very excited that we got her application in and we're considering her, and I think she'll be a great asset.
Thank you, JP. Really appreciate you bringing Nicola to us. If Nicola is accepted by this group and then later the full council, I'm just going to throw this out there. Would you be interested in being matched with her as mentor, since you already had sort of had that ongoing experience, or do you think another person would be a better fit or a newer fit, I guess?
Yeah, I would be happy to be matched unless she decides that she'd want something different. So yeah, I would be happy to if she's good with that.
All right. Well, that's certainly, that'll be on Dave to and Kira to figure out with Nicola when if her application does
pass. All right, so I'm going to try to share a screen here with our interview questions. It has been a long time, literally years, since we have interviewed someone. So thank you, Kira, for finding this, this relic. I'll share a screen if I can. If not, if Kira, you can have that on standby just in case. And certainly would like to invite Beth into this as well, if Beth would like to ask questions, but we do like to parse these out. And of course, after the questions are asked, you should feel free to ask your own. So I'll try to share a screen. Let's see what we got here. Can you see that? Okay, Kira, can you share a screen?
I have.
Or you, whoever, anyone but me.
Do you want to, Dave?
One sec.
Okay.
Having a, sorry, my Zoom screen got super minimized and I couldn't find it in my tabs and stuff. Yeah, I will share. One sec.
All right, so our first question is, like, how did you hear about the Planet Council and why are you interested in joining? Obviously, we already know the answer to that first part. So who would like to ask the second part? Why would you like to join the council? Elaine? Sounds like, okay, so Elaine, you'll start us off with just asking, why would you like to join us? I don't think we need to ask the second one because we saw from her application that she doesn't actually have a community planning experience. So let's move on to the third one, which is a key one, of course. What specific skills do you think you'll be bringing? Where do you think you'll have the biggest contribution? I noticed you spoke up, JP. Would you mind taking this one?
Happy to.
All right. The next question is basically boils down to, when making decisions, what are the most important elements in how you make a decision? Who would like to ask that question?
Hard one.
You will? All right.
Oh, thanks. No, I said it was a hard one, Mark.
Oh, okay.
I think Ed raised his hand.
Yep.
Okay.
I'll do it.
So Ed, you'll just be asking about when Nicola makes decisions. How does Nicola make decisions? And then the last question is attendance. It's basically around, you'll have to come to two meetings minimum. How will you be able to fit the work of the council into your schedule?
I could take this one, Mark.
All right.
I want to ask her, yeah, specifically, since we're going to do in-person near the end of the year, if she's okay with that.
All right. Can you scroll down? I think that might be all, but just want to double check. All right. So those are the five questions. Thomas, Beth, please do feel free to ask questions. It'd be great if Nicola actually heard certainly from all of us, including our two reps from HHS and CHEP. I'll start us off by basically just saying, welcome, Nicola. And then Elaine, you'll just jump in and then we'll go around. Does that sound good?
It does, Mark. Just a heads up, I have a hard stop at 4, so I don't want to be rude either. So
okay, If everyone else doesn't mind, after Elaine asks her intro question, maybe Thomas can go next with just a question that's not necessarily any of the questions that everyone else will be asking. Is that fine?
Sure. What's your favorite color?
Or even if you don't have a question, you can always just introduce yourself. You know, I think it's just
okay. That sounds good.
Yeah, Mark, are you going to be sharing those questions again for us to read off when we're in the interview?
You didn't memorize them.
No, I did a screenshot.
What I'll probably do is I'll throw up in chat a summation of the questions. But Elaine, yours is pretty basic, right? Just asking like, why would you like to join the council? So I won't do yours.
Don't worry about it. I have a screenshot. I'll just use that.
Okay, I'm gonna close the room now. It takes a minute to close the room for some reason, so we will just wait. Bum, 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 bum. 42, 41.
Do, 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 do
25. We should do this, actually, when we get back in person, is actually just do a countdown.
Right.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Okay.
Are you for me? There we go. Hey, Nicola. Welcome. You've already seen a little bit of what this committee is all about. So I first of all just want to say a warm welcome to you and thank you for your interest in joining the council. And with that, I'm going to turn it right over to Elaine, who will start us off with her first question, with our first question.
Hi. Hello. This is Elaine Coaster. I'm the co-chair for the membership and member. And our first question for you today would be, why would you like to join the CARE Council?
Her question was, why would you like to join the council?
Okay, can you hear me? Can y'all hear me? Okay. Okay, this is, the interest, it all happened from a group. I participated in a group called Chili that was hosted by the GPH, intern membership program that we were doing online. And it consisted of mental health, STDs, and all that stuff of that nature. And one of the processes was getting hooked up to a mentor. And we was in a breakout room and I came across JP Soto. And I was in one of JP Soto's programs not too long ago before I moved into my program, because I'm originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. And we was in a breakout room. He had mentioned that he was one of the members of the HIV Council Committee. And shortly after that, I was assigned to him as he was my mentor. And once we did our first meeting, I brought to him this information that I thought that would be beneficial and helpful to the committee, not only to the committee, but it would also be beneficial for myself because of me wanting to become an activist in HIV, mental health, transgender health, and those types of areas. And the reason being is that it's because of my spiritual calling. And also too, blessing that I would be bringing to the council, that I pretty much want to invest into the council so that I can bring it and do a format or recreate or restructure or fix what needs to be fixed in the South. If you get what I'm saying, because I've been looking and noticing what the stuff that y'all do and how y'all run it, whatever. And it's very interesting and I'm going to learn more. And so with that being said, next year, shortly after my surgery, I'm coming into a multi-billion-dollar settlement with Wells Fargo Bank. It is up to at least 75 bills. So I'm going to do my best to break the bank. In the process of that, I've gained my crown as Voodoo Queen and head of Lucifer State. So after that, I would be investing, I would be giving the mayor $1 billion to receive my key to the city of San Francisco, California, so that I can begin to build Anton LaVey's Church of Satan. But it's going to turn into the greater Church of Satan, which would be evolving and expansion. And due to its nature, I have wanted to turn it into more of a community-based type of organization and council committee. I saw was the viable candidate to invest in, and the council will be the gatekeeper to the Church of Satan. Not said that anyone will have to join it, but the opportunity will be there. I have the original LaVey's on board for when this happens. So with that being said, that would be a benefit to the council. And not only that, I would be dropping at least a half a bill into the committee board to try to build a mega headquarters that would consist of Trans Life, BDE, Dream, API. So, I'm part of the transgender committee with the mayor, CGI Justice, and API. You kind of get it?
Thank you. I think because Thomas has to leave us soon, and Thomas wanted to say a few words before we move on to our next question.
Yeah, no, I just appreciated that getting the opportunity to meet you, and I'm sorry that I have to jump into another meeting, but you're in good hands with the folks here, and thank you.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Got it. All right. Thank you.
No worries. Be well.
Sure. You too.
Thank you.
All right, I think next up would be JP.
Yes, hi there.
Hello, JP.
Good to see you today. What skills and abilities would you be bringing to that body? Like, what do you feel would be some of your best and biggest contributions as a voice on our council?
Leadership, a great leader.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Hey, repeat the question again. Let me get it again.
Yeah. What do you think will be some of the best things that you'll be able to contribute and share with the council?
So when it comes to that, all right. So while I was thinking, all right, say, you know, I've been looking at how y'all run things, and it's very fascinating when it comes to like the finances, the fund, and stuff of that nature. So with me being a part of the council, I will be a much more valuable asset to help heal, you know, fix, recover, build, or whatever issue that is that the council may feel that they're lacking, then I will be that viable source to come in and to fix that. Get it?
Thank you. I remember in our previous conversations, you discussed sharing and using some of the experience that you had in your lived experience to share as a voice on the council, right?
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you.
All right, Ed or Ron?
Oh, I'll go ahead. Nicola, welcome.
Well, thank you.
When you're sitting down, trying to make a decision on something that might be really, really important, how do you go about determining what your decision is going to be? In other words, what type of thought process do you use to come up with your decision-making process?
Wait. Repeat that again. Say that again.
Sure, no problem. When you're making a decision, what thought process do you go through to come up with your final decision?
Well, for one, when it comes to ideas or anything and thought process, I get all my messages from source, God, because I'm connected. I'm highly connected to God, like direct God himself. And when it comes to my decision-making, it's pretty much based off of what I see. Once I say, like, if I put my mind on, like, if I put my mind on an idea, and if it feels good, and if it feels right, I'll go with it. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's basically how, when it comes to any decision, specifically, like I said, with the Church of Satan, being at the fact I was gifted to that from, you know, Anton LaVey himself, it felt right, regardless to his nature. You get what I'm saying? So I felt safe with the fact of carrying on his legacy. See what I'm saying? So it's more of, you know, I'm very connected. It's called your solar plexus. Your solar plexus is your moral compass. Your moral compass is the direct connection to the spiritual realm. And when you become connected to your solar plexus, you basically, you know, basically when it comes to decision making, for me, it helps me to, you know, ground myself, and it helps me to go into situations that are more beneficial for me in a healthier sense rather than an unhealthy sense.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ron, you have a question?
Hi, Nicola. Thank you for taking your time to interview with us. Thank you for taking the time to interview with us. So my question to you is that we have very specific rules about expected attendance, and we need to know that those who are participating in our council are able to participate.
You have no problem with that.
Basically, we're looking at maybe two meetings a month, maybe even three, depending on your involvement.
Yeah.
Near the end of the year, we'll be moving to in-person meeting.
Okay, perfect.
How do you feel about that? Do you find any reason that would complicate you making that commitment?
Oh, no problem, none. Because at this present moment, due to, you know, I start the process for my surgery. I'm getting my surgeries done. So that's part of my final initiation into my calling, right? So I start my process for my face in October. And for my face, my body, I get done January the 26th. And for my vaginoplasty, I get it April the 27th. So when it comes to activities, the only thing that I'm doing at this present moment in time, I'm doing COVID outreach with API. That's like 3 days a week. They're switching it to 4. You see what I'm saying? If you do that 3 days, it's from 10 to like 10 to 3. So it really would be no issue with, like, when it comes to with the meeting with the council. There would be no issue when it comes to the commitment. You have, that's no problem. No issue with that.
Thank you, Nicola.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Ron. And finally, Beth, do you have any questions for Nicola?
I mean, I'd like to just introduce myself. Also, like Thomas, I work for the Department of Public Health, and it's wonderful to meet you. Thank you very much. And I do have one question. I was wondering if anything you've learned in your work with the COVID outreach feels sort of like directly transferable to HIV outreach. Because we have some similar, you know, need to connect with some of the same people. So just if you have any ideas that are off the top of your head that you would like to share?
What were you talking about when it comes, to be honest with you, at this present moment in time? Mm-hmm. I'm always having ideas, but I'm jumping off from the back of my head. But you're just throwing it out there. Now that's something for me to think about. But at this present moment in time, not right now, but in the future, I'd be more than happy something to pop up. But yeah, but when it comes to, you know, the COVID?
Yeah, just if there's, but I mean, that's actually, I mean, thinking about it over time works too. That's, I mean, probably the more thoughtful response is a good idea.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, just the outreach is always an area for improvement for us, for everyone, I'm sure. But, and I think you have a lot of direct experience that could help inform us.
Yeah, definitely. So, I'm prepared for you in the near future, ladies, especially.
Thank you.
Putting that out there.
All right. Well, that's all the questions from us. Nicola, do you have any questions for us?
Oh, I'm done. I have no questions.
All right. Well, then our next step is that we will be discussing your application and whether if we want to move forward at this time or not. And then after this discussion, at some point, Dave Jordan will reach out to you and let you know the decision of the group. And so at this point, I'd like to thank you for joining us and ask you to actually leave the meeting so we can have the discussion.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Y'all have a good day. Nice meeting everyone.
You have a good day too.
Bye-bye.
Nice meeting you.
All right. Discussion of this application. I have some comments from Elaine, who unfortunately was not able to join, was bumped off because they had, not really bumped off, bumped herself off because right now, she has to go into an interview with a manager, I guess, probably referring to what she talked about earlier. I guess she was waiting outside for the interview to happen. Okay. But I'll share her comments as well. I'm not sure if we want to start with her comments. So let's all go around. Or I guess I can start with her since she can't really, there's no discussion there. I'll just read them. Okay. Three different things, basically all saying the same thing. I'm not sure they fit at this moment. I think this applicant is not a good fit. I have to say no on this application. Of course, she does not have a vote because she's not in the meeting, but those are her thoughts that she texted. All right, so let's just go around. Let's start with you, Ed.
Well, it was an interesting interview.
It was fun.
She has lots of ideas. She has lots of lived experience. Some rather grandiose ideas and plans. And I haven't really come to a conclusion at this moment, but by the end of the meeting, I think my process will be complete.
All right. Ron, what do you think?
I have to agree with Elaine. There are a lot of points that she said. I want to change the way it was said, though. I would rather say that it's not that she's not a good fit for the council. I think the council's not a good fit for her. You know, I know she wants to be involved. It seems like she wants to be involved in things, but I'm not sure if the council, if she's ready for what we do.
Thank you. JP?
I was going to ask Ed what three things go into his decision-making process. I'm kidding. I think that she has a lot going on, and I found in my work with her in focusing on you know specific tasks and projects, it really works best to kind of put more context and structure around the work that we're doing at the time. So she definitely has a lot of lived experience that I think that would be really beneficial. We don't have a lot of voices of folks with lived experience on our council these days, and our council is getting much smaller. But I can tell you from my experience is that, you know, adding a little bit more structured focus around what we're doing and what her contributions are and what's appropriate is really helpful in really getting, I think, the most out of what she has to share that's beneficial, if that makes sense.
Thank you. So before we go on to a vote, I'd love to share my own thoughts as well as to hear from Beth and Dave as well. Zachary, welcome. Sorry you missed our interview. So I assume you-
So sorry.
That's okay. But I assume then you'll probably have to abstain from this. Okay. So my thoughts are certainly, I mean, I thought Nicola was a very enjoyable and warm person, clearly has a lot of life experience, certainly has that phrase we all love, lived experience for sure. Can certainly speak to a variety of things, whether it's as a POC, as a sex worker, as a person who's positive, as a person who's trans, all those different things are awesome. But I'm not seeing a good fit here. I'll just be frank. It's strange to say that because I feel like I'm a fan of Nicola after the interview, like a big fan. But one of the biggest things that really, like, there were a few red flags for me. The biggest red flag was there wasn't seem to be an understanding of what the council does. And it seemed to be more like Nicola wants the council to do things that she wants the council to do. I thought that was like a huge flag. Another flag was, I mean, I'm not going to judge a person's plans as being like realistic or not, but if your actual plan for the council is for you to donate a lot of money because of a settlement you're getting, and then to have the council be a part of a new entity that you're creating with the mayor's office, that's not, again, not judging that, anyone can make plans, but that just seems to betray a real lack of understanding about what community planning is and how it's actually not driven by an individual. Or particular grants, that sounds like a problem to me. And then the third thing is, again, I'm not judging anyone's spiritual practice, of course. If someone wants to be a follower of Anton LaVey and the Church of Satan, that is totally fine if that's what Nicola is connecting to. However, when you use Anton LaVey and a gut feeling and what God tells me to, or what Anton LaVey's God tells me to as one of your primary decision-making components, I have a challenge with that, because that's not necessarily being based even around lived experience or around what they have seen in their experiences as in Chile. So those are my kind of three red flags about like, oh, I just don't know. All right, Beth or Dave?
Sure, I can go next. I'm not sure, like similar to Ed, I think I've got more thinking to do because I think there are some some real things she brings that we don't necessarily have. And I actually liked that one of the interests was learning more from like San Francisco, where there have been some positive, although I know like there's been a mixture of experiences, but it's a rich service environment where there's a lot to be aware of, and like also applying that potentially to the South or other areas that are suffering, you know, like from similar challenges, and may or may not have had as many years to work on them. So I kind of liked some of that motivation, even though that may not be a long-term council member if moving somewhere else eventually. But I don't know much about that particular religion. And it's interesting because we actually have had comments at some audits from the state that we need to do a better job of connecting with churches and like just all religious institutions, because that is an outreach method that some, especially more rural jurisdictions use, that is not a big part of the San Francisco model. So we do have some general possible real like omissions in that area, just because how things have, you know, evolved historically. So I agree with a couple people in that some of the like what exactly the council does wasn't directly connected with. And I think that maybe the interview just didn't really get to the, I think there may not be a lot of interview experience is my guess. Because like, while there were a lot of relevant things, it wasn't maybe the, like not each question wasn't answered with the most relevant experience that we know she has from the application.
Thank you, Beth. Dave?
First, I just want to, I would like us all to briefly imagine the response of our HRSA case officer when we sell them the idea that we're doing a better job of doing outreach to religious communities by bringing on somebody who's heavily involved in the Church of Satan. I'd love to see that. I think that would be an amazing conversation, and maybe worth bringing her on just so we can do that. I don't know that that's what they had in mind, but it is amusing to think of. I would say the thing that sticks out to me most as the person who has often over the years been responsible for prepping and training and orienting a lot of new council members is that there's a real commonality, not just among consumers of services or people with lived experience, but among a lot of newer members who have this idea around sort of fast activism, direct activism related to the council. And I think that we all recognize, sometimes to our frustration, that's not what the council does. Rarely do we have anything that even resembles sort of, there are moments of activism, but it is not the bread and butter of what the council does. And I am always concerned when I have interviewed folks, pre-interviewed folks whose applications or you know, in their pre-interviews suggest that that's what their primary interest is. And that's sort of what I'm hearing here. I think similar to what Mark was saying, it doesn't feel like Nicola had a whole lot of understanding of what the council, what the function of the council was, like what its purpose, but actually how it is accomplishes that purpose. And that's fine because we've had other members who have not had that knowledge going into it. Coupled with that sort of like a desire for an activist experience, I feel like it's going to be an unsatisfactory experience for Nicola, especially initially and maybe always. And I'll be honest, if this had been a person who I had had more time to sort of pre-interview and have, you know, in pre-COVID times, we would have sort of multiple conversations, sometimes even pre-application, depending on how they came to us. This is probably a person who I might say, why don't you figure out where you are in the sort of overall system and maybe, you know, maybe come to a few meetings for a while and get a sense of really what it is we do, and then apply. I might advocate to them that maybe this is not the best fit right now, but maybe get a better sense of what the council is and whether it's a thing you even want to be involved in, for them. Not, you know, anyone who wants to apply, I would always bring their application to you, but there are some folks who I might suggest that they do a little more diligence before applying. And that's probably would have been the case here.
Thank you, Dave. I do want to point out that Nicola did attend one full council meeting. All right, so we've heard from everyone. Is there any further comments or discussion that anyone would like to add before we go to a vote? No? Okay. And as I mentioned, even though Elaine said that
I'm sorry, just briefly, especially because you had mentioned that I might be paired up with her if we did decide to bring her in. I just want to reiterate again that, I mean, she did sit through a meeting. She does have an idea of what it is, you know, whether or not it ultimately, she's happy with the structure and the decision-making and that stuff. But I really think that some strong mentorship would really pull out a lot of the contributions that I think would be useful to the council. So I was just going to say that part.
Thank you, JP. All right. So as I mentioned, Elaine said that she would have voted no, but of course, not being in the meeting, she does not have a vote, but she wanted that to be shared. Ron.
I don't know.
Ed.
I'm going to abstain for a moment.
JP?
I'll say yes.
Zachary?
Abstain.
So abstentions do count as no votes. And so that means that this applicant has not been accepted onto the council. So we have two abstentions, one no and one yes. So the next step would then be for Dave to let Nicola know the bad news.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I was abstaining for the moment. JP, you've worked with her before. Do you think that her interests are so varied and they seem not necessarily council related? Do you think that she could be guided to work within the limits of the council, or is she such a free spirit that if we ask her to conform to the rules, that she's going to feel boxed in and trapped?
Yeah, and that's what, I'm sorry, am I unmuted? That's what I meant earlier, that I really felt that some strong mentorship can really, get what I think would be most beneficial for the council, is that kind of guiding, whether or not she ultimately would be happy with, with that reality of what she's able to do and to what limitations, I'm not sure about that, but yeah, I think that she has a lot to offer and I think it just needs to be focused. So yeah, I'm just saying my experience is that, yeah, that you can focus, her contributions, but I can't say whether or not in the long run she'd be completely happy with the limitations of what we do and how it works.
Can I build on what Ed said? Because I think one of the ways that Dave can message this is also that we will eventually, some sweet day, be doing in-person work again. Just because a person has been rejected from a committee does not mean they can't resubmit an application. Perhaps Dave can encourage Nicola, if they truly do want to continue, that perhaps they, when we start reappearing in person, Nicola can, if they have the time, can come to meetings. And if it is something that they actually see is a good fit that they can perhaps adjust to, then they can reapply. It's not like one no, especially during these virtual times, does not need to be the end of the road. And plus, we're all works in progress. We're all growing. And so perhaps there will be a time that the committee, there would be more yes votes rather than no's or abstentions. I don't think one decision means the end of potential, especially potential for working in community planning. All right, Dave, do you have what you need as far as...
Yeah, so I was going to say something along those lines. I mean, and oftentimes in the very rare occasion that a person has been declined, that is often the messaging is that we will always, you know, look at another, you know, reapplication in good faith. But, you know, also, I'll be honest, I mean, hearing what JP has to say, it really makes me feel like, you know, things have been chaotic in our sort of transition here on staff. Things have been chaotic around COVID. I feel like, and we're sort of trying to figure out our process here around interviews and applications and stuff, because everyone we've brought on during COVID has been a mandatory seat or a mandated seat that has been basically a rubber stamp straight through the process and has not been interviewed. So this is sort of the first test of that. And I don't feel like she got a fair prep under these circumstances. And so I would just say that you know, I'd be happy to have some conversations with her about sort of building a little more of a knowledge base around the council itself, and encouraging her to attend more meetings, and maybe reapplying a little ways down the road. I think that would be, I mean, that is my sort of strategy that I'll be moving forward with.
That's a great strategy. I mean, you could also potentially include her in the NEAT assessment as well, because as a member of the trans community, I mean, obviously a perfect fit, one with a lot of life experience, and one who also can speak on the differences in, I'm not sure, Nicola, are you familiar with EMAs, but certainly the differences in the service continuum amongst different places. So that also, I think, could function as an introduction to the kind of stuff we do that might lead eventually to another application.
Thanks, Mark. That had not occurred to me at all. I wasn't thinking about inviting her to community engagement to help inform that process at one bit. But
I find your sarcasm to be quite wounding. And on that note, I'm going to be eating.
Yes.
All right, everyone. That was the end of our agenda. Zachary, the one announcement that you missed was that the co-chairs have, oh, you probably saw the email, but the co-chairs have determined that all meetings will be virtual through this month and then through August. All right, everyone. Thanks for your time and have a good rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And let's all wish Elaine luck.
Yes.
Oh, Dave, can you stay on? Let me stop this. Stop recording.